All right. If you're around the internet, if you're around your device there, look up Arnold Hano, H-A-N-O. Terrific writer, great baseball man, great sportsman, and of course, as I say, a great writer for Sport Magazine. But on this special day of acknowledging what Jackie Robinson meant to the African-American players, Philippe Alou was the spokesman, really, for the Latin American players, and Arnold wrote a great story about the Latin Bill of Rights. So, Arnold, great to have you with us. Philippe Alou gave you the Latin Bill of Rights, and I think it's one of the best pieces you've ever done. How did it ever come about?
It came about because I had a wonderful editor, Al Silverman, who recognized these things shaping up. And he said to me, work with Philippe Alou and do a piece on what do they want? What do they really want? And we'll call it the Bill of Rights for Latin ballplayers. And I approached Philippe, and he was delighted to do something like that. And he felt it very firmly, very strongly, and I interviewed him. I found out Ford Frick, I think, was the commissioner at that time. Ford Frick was a good guy, and he also was a good sports writer. He had done sports writing. But Philippe Alou said he's never seen our country. He's never been down there. He doesn't know what the poverty is like down there. He doesn't know what we're like. And we need somebody in that office who does know who we are. And that set the theme, and we went from there. And working with him was wonderful. And when I finished the piece, 12, 15 pages of typing, I had to show them and get Philippe to initial each page. And I said, you know what we've been talking about? He held up his hand. I'm going to read this thing. Yeah. And he his English was good enough that he could read it and understand it. So he read it slowly, and he read it. And I said, you know, sport can't pay you for this. He said, I would pay to get this published. And so that's nice. That's like somebody saying, I like what you do, and that's flattering to me. So that was nice, and seeing him today here in Arizona was a thrill. And we both, I think, felt the better for it.
In those days, you could stand in the outfield during batting practice and chat with the player. You did that with Philippe Alou.
Yeah, I stand next to him, and he would guard me from balls hit. I got so that I could tell by the crack of the bat where the ball was going anyway. I knew whether it was going to right field or center or left. But once in a while, he was pushing me aside and make the play. But I miss that we don't have any fielding practice anymore. I miss a lot of things about baseball, and that's one of them. He was such a good guy, and he appreciated that I cared about him and I cared about the Latin ball player. Anyway, that's something that I like that piece too. I have not reread that piece in years. Does it still hold up?
I think it's terrific. In fact, I will tell you this. Bobby Evans, the general manager of the Giants, read it today and told me that it should be in every clubhouse and that the commissioner of baseball should read it, and every minor leaguer and everyone in the Giants organization will get a copy of it.
Well, will they ask me to throw out the first ball?
If you throw the screwball, they will.
I will throw the screwball if they want me to throw out the first ball.
All right.
Anyway, it was good because it helped not just the Alous, it helped Roberto Clemente, it helped all of them, and it helped the second line, too. The great ball players will make it no matter what, and Alou and Clemente would make it. But the second line of players, that's where it really counts, to have that on their side, and they needed that.
Powerful article by Arnold Hano in November 1963, Sport Magazine. Arnold, they gave you some good assignments. You were one of the top writers for Sport. Casey Stengel, you got to interview him in the mid-60s. He was sort of out of the game. Well, I guess he was still with the Mets maybe at that point, but you got to see him in Glendale, California. And tell me about Casey Stengel.
Casey answered the door in his bare feet, and he looked at me and he said, come on in. And so we had already arranged that I would be there. And my first question to him was, what's the difference between now and the way it was when you were playing with the Giants in the outfield? And he picked up an imaginary club and he swung it and he said, the uppercut. The uppercut is the difference today. He'd been fired by the Yankees for losing that World Series to the Pirates. That's ludicrous. What he'd done for the Yankees was incredible, and he Bill Mazeroski, it's a home run, and he's through. Casey is through. Terrible. Anyway.
Well, Casey had the great quote when he was fired after 1960. The quote was, "I'll never make the mistake of being 70 again." And they said that's why he got fired.
That is true. He was a great man and an original humorist. That business of he came out on the field one day and they were booing him and he took off his cap and a sparrow flies out. It's giving the bird back to them. It's just wonderful stuff.
How about hitting the home run in the World Series, inside the park home run?
Yes, the Damon Runyon piece on that, referring to old Casey. That's 1922, something like that? Old Casey. What was he? Was he already 30? I don't know what he was. Anyway, he was apparently a very good ball player. I never saw him play. At least I don't think I ever saw him play.
Well, Mantle had the great line because Casey would take him to Ebbets Field, and he'd show Mantle and Bauer how to play the wall in right field, which was a tough wall. It had a cement on the bottom, and the caroms were very difficult. And Casey took Mantle out there to show him how to do it. And Casey said afterwards, Mantle was amazed. He thought that I was born 70 years old.
ball players really have no time for old managers, old men, old writers. And they're different. Roger Maris taught me something about that whole generation that I didn't realize. I said, well, when you go up for a fly ball and you run into the fence and blah, blah, he said, I never run into a fence. I said, well, sometimes, he said, I never run into a fence. I will not run into a fence. And I mentioned this to Al Silverman. I said, he's kind of an I'm for me guy. And he said, that's your next assignment. I'm for me. So I did an assignment on I'm for me ball players.
Well, that brings us to Mantle. You got to talk to Mantle, sort of the twilight of his career. And reading the article, it's the old ball player never knows when to give it up. When he's 30, he says, I got five more years. When he's 31, I got five more years. And he keeps saying that until he doesn't have five more years. And you did that piece on Mantle, which was very, very important.
I felt bad about it myself. Here is a guy. He was telling me I can still steal bases. Yeah. Then the game is played. It was a game in Chicago. They didn't even play him in center field. They played him in left field because his range was so limited now. His legs were so terrible. He was the only ball player I ever knew who played as a cripple. Yeah. Cripples do not play major league ball. And he was crippled and he played major league ball, and that was incredible that he could have done that. And when I went to see him at the end of that time, and he went 0 for 5, I think he hit into a double play. Everybody had cleared the clubhouse, everybody, except he was in the far end of the clubhouse, his head down between his knees practically. And I walked over and he said, no more questions. I said, I just want to thank you for what you've done, not just today, but for your career. And I thank you again. And I walked out. You're right. It's terrible that these ball players do not know when they are finished. Willie Mays played for the Mets, and he was in a World Series. And he swung at a ball, and he fell down. And he got up, and he fell down again. And the pitcher coming down to pick up the ball that he had tapped fell down. And between this comedy act, they finally threw him out of first base. People were saying to him, Willie, you didn't look. And he said to me, did I really look as bad as that? I said you looked worse. I said it was just terrible. You're a great ball player. You've got to hang it up, whatever worth that is.
Arnold, we'll pick it up in a little while. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and it's my pleasure.
More coming up on KNBR 680, the Sports Leader.